Stillman Company, final hour here on this Friday afternoon. Four's Company in for Jared today. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Ian Safar, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. 3 hours down, gentlemen. Filling in here for Jared as he gets a head start on this holiday weekend. We haven't talked about kind of a big story in the market this week. The NFL meetings were here in Nashville. And Roger Goodell, he spoke earlier this week talking about a lot of different things. 18-game schedule possibilities. The draft in 2026 was awarded to Pittsburgh. But he was also asked about the possibility of a Super Bowl being played here in Nashville. Here's what he had to say.
It was great to see the stadium and what they're envisioned. We've seen plans before, but you see it come to life a little bit more. I think the stadium is going to be amazing. We know the passion of the fans here. We experienced the draft here. And I think a Super Bowl here would be very successful, but we'll get to that once we get a little further down the line with the stadium.
So it's going to be a while away. You would think stadium opens 2027, probably 2029 would be ballpark for a Super Bowl here, but something that maybe no one thought would be possible a while ago, now with the Dome Stadium, chance we see the biggest event in sport in American sports make its way here to the Music City.
Man, when and if that happens, Nashville will be just packed. And, you know, Ian went on his little grumpy old man rant earlier. I will go on mine right now. I despise the amount of traffic in Nashville, especially downtown. I try not to go downtown at like any time of the day, but if I have to go, it is a brutal, brutal drive for me. But yes, back to the football aspect of it, phenomenal. It'd be great. Love to see the Super Bowl here. It'd be awesome.
It'd be good exposure for the city. You got to think, too, with this stadium, you're not just going to get a Super Bowl. You're going to bring in, you know, a Final Four. You're going to bring in a football national championship. You're going to bring in a WrestleMania or a bigger concerts and stuff like that. But yes, it will say goodbye to nice parking and don't tell anyone about the Music City Center, because that's my space.
You just said it, man.
Well, my bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw the draft
come on,
that brought in, and they had the whole draft experience across the way in the Nissan Stadium parking lot. Nashville did it up for the draft. I can only imagine what this city would look like if a Super Bowl came here. And it seemed like a pipe dream a few years ago to have a host team in the Super Bowl, but we saw it 2 years in a row, including SoFi Stadium in its first year, its first Super Bowl.
Right.
Rams getting there. Who knows?
It's true.
Imagine this city if the Titans played in the Super Bowl in the first one here in Nashville.
Mm.
I'd cry. I'd just wail away.
I know we're getting ahead of ourselves.
It's okay. I mean, it's good to think that way. I mean, I'm trying to visualize this right now, is that when the Preds went on their Stanley Cup run in 2017, downtown Nashville like was blocked off in every fashion of the way. You see these little horses, they call them horses, you know, the wood little horses, block off the roads. Yeah, it was everywhere. So I can only imagine what it's like with football. Football is one of the top sports in America, honestly. So if that were to happen, if it's Columbia blue, Titan, dark blue, red, white, whatever it may be, silver, this town will be electric if the Titans were to go to Super Bowl and host it. That'd be kind of neat.
Think about this. It'll be like, you know how packed the downtown scene gets around end of February,
sure,
early March. SEC tournament rolls into town in Bridgestone.
Oh, boy.
That bar scene is crazy. If we bring in a Super Bowl here, it will be that times 100. It will be electric, but it'll be like a cicada invasion right now.
Just, well, I mean, think about even when there's a big concert in town, like Morgan Wallen, it was jam-packed. Especially with the Preds game going on at the same time, too. I still remember from last year, I went and called a Middle Tennessee State Series down in Dallas. And we came back the Sunday night that Taylor Swift's concert got rained into the early hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we got back at like 2 a.m. It took me an hour to get an Uber because everybody downtown was stealing all the Ubers because of the Taylor Swift concert. So,
right.
I mean, like you said, Connor, imagine that times 10, 15 if we get a Final Four or a Super Bowl here. Better start working on the traffic now in order to prepare for that.
I mean, you're talking people from all over the the world almost.
Yes.
And plus you have all these celebrities that come in that have their own escorts and their own routes they take. You're going to block off roads that way, and that's going to create more traffic because everyone's going the exact same way, and it's going to be a nightmare. It'll be great exposure for our city and how much it's grown over the years. Like, think about 20 years ago. I wasn't around yet, but think about 20 years ago, we didn't have all this. We didn't.
True.
I mean, we did, but we didn't have the Titans to the scale we have the Titans today. Yeah. We didn't have the Nashville Predators to the scale we have the Nashville Preds today.
The Music City Center. It was a parking lot, a legit parking lot.
Yep.
I do recall that. Yeah. So, I don't know. Well, what are your thoughts about this new stadium, Jake?
I will make a bold prediction based on what we've seen the last couple of days.
Okay.
So they opened up the Titans House thing,
right,
where you can kind of see the designs that went into the new stadium and all that stuff. And they released a time lapse of when it's going to be ready. And I think they said February of 2027, right around there. I will make a bold prediction. They just announced the 2026 NFL draft is in Pittsburgh. 2027, it comes back to Nashville.
You think so?
I think that it's the perfect time. The Titans can show off the new stadium right after it's finished. If it's finished in February and you get the whole NFL world coming here in April, what better way to show off your new multi-billion dollar stadium than the NFL draft 2 months after it's finished?
They hit those stadiums with the Super Bowl really fast too.
They do.
Like last year was what, Allegiant Stadium? And
yeah,
that opened
2 years ago.
Two, three years ago.
Yeah.
And then it was either a year before or a few years. It was SoFi with the Bengals and the Rams, and that had just opened, and they're really quick with it. So I would expect, not that I'm an expert or anything, but I would expect if we're open by 27, we may have a Super Bowl here by 28, 29.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking 2019 was the first draft here. 8 years, I feel like, is enough time in between to let other places get it. But if any city is going to get a second NFL draft, I think it's got to be Nashville after the show they put on back in 2019. So it'll be Green Bay in 2025, Pittsburgh in 2026. I will make the prediction. I think 2027, it's coming back to Nashville, and they'll be able to show off the new stadium across the Cumberland from Broadway. So excited for that. Excited for a possible Super Bowl here. We're going to keep talking NFL meetings coming up after this. You can jump in as well on our phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We're going to talk about the possibility of an 18-game schedule. Roger Goodell talked about it a little bit this week here in Nashville. Is it a good idea? And how long until we possibly see that extra game added on? That's up next here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Let's talk about Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. It is a holiday weekend, and I know that holiday weekends mean partying, celebrations, barbecues, hangouts by the pool, trips out on the lake, time over with the... Make sure you have Fireball Whiskey. Fireball Whiskey goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night and to celebrate the beginning of summer than with summer's official drink. That's right. I'm telling you, Fireball Whiskey, it's summer's official drink. Ignite the night. Please do responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
Stillman Company taking you into your Memorial Day weekend. Forrest Company in for Jared today. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. If you haven't had enough of us yet, you can hear us tomorrow morning as well, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then on Monday, a special Memorial Day edition from 11 to 2:30. But this is Stillman Company, brought to you by Jared Company's Fire and Commercial Plumbing, HVAC Division. Call 615-515-1270 or visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the NFL meetings here in Nashville this week. Talked about Roger Goodell talking about the possibility of a Super Bowl down the road here in Nashville once the new stadium is built. He also talked about the possibility of an 18-game schedule. And this is just, correct me if I'm wrong, 3 years removed from going to 17, I believe, two or three.
Yeah.
So I know that this is, the NFL as an organization always wants more football. They can sell it to more streaming providers, as we've seen with Netflix and Amazon Prime and Peacock all getting involved. But is it smart to go to 18 games? These guys are already getting a lot of wear and tear on their body. I know they say they'd add another bye week, but is it smart to extend the season even further with playoffs after that? You're going to be playing into mid-February at that point.
I'm not a fan of that. I just feel like you don't want to – football we only get for a certain amount of time. This is my beef with all leagues. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew, you know? You don't want to force feed more of something you think you like because eventually you'll get sick of it, you know? You're basically extending your season by, what, 2 weeks? Because you would have to add a second bye week in. It just doesn't make sense to me. I know it's a money thing and everything's money driven and, you know, capitalism and all that, but like I just don't see the point in it, you know? I don't know.
I see the approach Roger Goodell is trying to have, and I believe he did say this on the Pat McAfee show. He's not a big fan of the preseason. So he's wanting to get rid of these preseason games and turn them into regular season games. But from my perspective, I think this just resets the NFL market for players, like in general, due to the fact that you add another game, so that kind of makes the contract like, hey, man, I'm getting paid $2.5 million here for a 17-game season, or if you change it to an 18-game season the following year, I want to re-up my deal in a different way. I want to renegotiate. I signed up for a $2.5 million deal just out of the thin air. Sign up for a $2.5 million deal for a 17-game season, not an 18-game season. So if you're wanting to tell me that we're not going to have only one bye week in 18 games, no thanks. I'm out.
I think it would have to be two bye weeks. And even Roger Goodell this week, when asked about it, he didn't say this is imminent. He didn't say maybe next year. He said long term, there's thought to possibly expanding the schedule. But... And I also agree with you. I'm not a huge fan of the preseason. I think that four games was definitely too much. I think three is probably about right because the bottom end of the schedule of the roster for all these teams, it's important for them to get these preseason games to prove their worth and try and earn a job. Maybe not with the team that they're with, but it's an audition for all 32 teams. So if you go down to two preseason games, that's one less chance for these undrafted free agents, these lower round draft picks, to get themselves jobs on NFL rosters. So I think that's another factor in it, but I think eventually we're going to go to 18, right? Like yeah. We talked about it when we were at 16, that eventually they were going to expand. They went to 17. I think 17, everybody kind of knows it's a stepping stone to eventually get to 18. It's just about how and when they end up doing it.
Yeah. And you know, I also mentioned this to you when we first started doing the weekend show, the Force Company, about the UFL being involved in some degree with the NFL. So this leads me to my point of if you're going to do an 18-week season, 18-game season, say you have two bye weeks, and say if some of those undrafted guys don't get their chance in the preseason, and Chase McJoe, I believe, mentioned this as adding players that don't get drafted but also have the rights to, let's say, the Titans were to sign, I don't know, Joe Schmo from Louisiana Tech. And he's a defensive end, but didn't make the practice squad for the Titans, right? Say if they have his contract rights, send him down to the UFL, gets about 3 to 4 games in under his belt in the UFL, and the Titans like, oh, yeah, maybe this guy actually does have a shot of playing for us if somebody gets hurt down the line. Bring him a practice squad from there, then go on to the top line roster and go from there. So maybe that's an option. But, I mean, if you're going to, you know, add an extra game to the season, you're going to have to expand the rosters, the game day rosters. You're going to have to look at the money involved with it for players, like I mentioned earlier. I mean, there's a lot. Like you said, it's down the line for sure, a pipe dream in a roundabout way. But they're going to have to put all that in consideration.
I just don't understand why we, as people in sports, feel the need to constantly expand things. Between this and then, like, you look at college football, we haven't even had a 12-team playoff yet, and now we're already expanding to 14 next year, or is it 2 years from now? Something like that. But it doesn't make sense to me. Why can't we just leave things the way they are? I sound like Big Joe right now.
Because there's always more money to be made, Connor.
Yeah, that is true.
They're all just trying to make that extra money.
Yep. Yeah.
Bingo. You know, those extra games, who are they going to sell the 18th week to? You know, is that a... you get extra money for a streaming game.
Right.
You get extra money from the TV contracts.
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody gets extra money. And so same thing with the college football playoff. They all want the money. They want to sell the TV rights. They want to sell it, you know, get the TV money from that. So, as long, you know, it's not going to stop until they find some type of, you know, reduced, you know, I guess money that they're getting back. I'm trying to find the right word, yeah. But until they, you know, see diminishing returns and all this kind of stuff, there's no slowing it down.
They haven't seen the peak yet.
Right.
Yeah. So you add another game, you make more money. All right, let's add another game.
I mean,
see
people
what
will watch. We'll all watch it.
Yeah.
And we'll all play our fantasy, and we'll all play our DFS, and we'll all put our extra bets on.
Right.
And so it's just one more game, and everyone will watch. And so, and especially if you take away a preseason game.
True.
That is true.
They'll take away at least one preseason game, and they'll add a regular season game. You know.
That is a good point, Ian. That
yeah.
we can talk about all we want about how so it's a bad idea.
So the season could start a week earlier.
Yeah, on Labor Day weekend. And then the Super Bowl, if you add another bye week, it would end on President's Day weekend.
So, you know, it would tweak it a little bit. But if you took away a preseason game and just moved everything up a little bit,
yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. I do think that a second bye week would probably be helpful if you threw in the 18 games, just because one bye week seems a bit extreme, you know, especially early on. Imagine if you had an 18 game schedule, you're the Titans and you have a bye week, week 5, and you have to play however many straight
14
games,
straight games
to end the season. Like, you know, that's,
you'd have to slip in a bye week week 12 or something like that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It would take a little bit of an adjustment, but they'll make it happen.
So then would you prioritize, like, I guess the way schedules are made to have more of your, I guess you could backload all of your division games in the back of your schedule and have a bye
week. Well, that's what they're doing now,
pretty much.
They're pretty much, you know, backloading the conference schedule, division schedules for most teams now.
Yeah, Titans have, what, 5 of their last 7 games are division games?
Yep.
Right. So would you put a second bye week in between one of those games and then add another bye week in the first 2 or 3, 4 weeks into the season? And then do you add another international game? That's another thing.
Well, they're going to keep adding those. We've already seen they expanded Germany and now Brazil, and I'm sure that is not going to stop. We're going to keep getting more countries involved, and there's going to be more games in London, and maybe the Jaguars eventually move to London, and all that is going to happen. But it would take some adjusting, for sure, if they went to the 18-game schedule. But mm-hmm. I do remember when they said they were moving to 17, and I was just thinking in my head, it's going to be so weird to talk about, you know, record predictions and say like 9-8 or 10-7 instead of 8-8 and 9-7. And now it feels normal. Like it's already kind of adjusted. I'm sure it's going to happen. Everybody's going to say, I don't know about this. And 2 years later, we'll all be used to it. And the NFL will add an extra 17th of their money on top of what they already
have. You could go 500 again if you get an 18 game.
That's true.
You can go 9-9.
Don't say that, Connor. Please, we don't want to go 9-9. I mean, hey, if you want to go 9-9, I'm fine with it. But hey, just saying.
615-737-1025. If you want to chime in, our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to give away some tickets here. Jamie Johnson at First Bank Amphitheater on June 28th. If you are caller number 3 right now, you win those tickets. Call in now, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we're going to talk some Vandy baseball. Talk about the excitement going on right now in Hoover with 3 straight wins for Tim Corbin and the Vandy boys. Excited about that, playing in the semifinals tomorrow against either Tennessee or Mississippi State. That's up next. You're on Stillman & Company, Force Company, filling in for Jared today here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Vandy wins it. On to the semis. Here are the Mets. It's Vanderbilt who gets their own brand of magic and finishes off States in the bottom of the ninth, 4-3. Vandy on to the semis on Saturday.
Vanderbilt baseball taking down Nick Frazier's Mississippi State Bulldogs last night, late night in Hoover, Alabama. Vandy moves on to the SEC semifinals, going to be played tomorrow against either Mississippi State or Tennessee. Stillman Company here on this Friday afternoon. Force Company in for Jared today. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt. This Vandy team, just when everyone was kind of giving up on them, they really struggled down the stretch in SEC play. I want to say lost 10 of their last 12 in SEC play. Lots of injuries. but there's something about the Hoover Met and Tim Corbin. Three straight wins over Florida, Tennessee, and now Mississippi State. Two games away from winning the second straight SEC title.
They're incredible. I mean, I believe I said this earlier today, or I think it was on Caroline Willie D-Mace. There's something about Tim Corbin. I mean, they just play ball. Once it gets to postseason play, they just play ball on a different level. Like, it's just business as usual. Like, throw out the regular season, you've made it to the postseason. Now that's where you got to put your foot on the pedal and press the gas and go forward.
He's a motivator, man. He knows how to win when it matters. I mean, not that the regular season doesn't matter, but you know, he's got his guys playing their best ball of this year,
yep,
by far. And the pitching has been phenomenal. You know, you have Bryce Cunningham is dealing right now, and what's the other one?
JD Thompson has been the guy who stepped up heading into that that third game against Tennessee. Vandy, that was kind of a must-win game for Vanderbilt. If they got swept on their own field by Tennessee, would have been tough for them to scratch their way to 13 SEC wins, which historically has kind of been that dividing line. If you're below 13, it's tough for you to get in.
Right.
13 and higher, you're feeling pretty good. And JD Thompson comes out and shoves. Six shutout innings. I want to say he had 8 or 9 strikeouts in that game against a Tennessee lineup that has pretty much dominated SEC pitching this year. And then does the same thing against Kentucky last Sunday. And then yesterday had a great outing against Mississippi State. Really cool to see him step up and really join that top level of Vanderbilt starting pitching with Bryce Cunningham and Devin Futrell, who's back from injury, and he's looked good this year.
Yeah, I mean, with the pitching, I mean, the batting lineup has been phenomenal, in my opinion. The two takeaways out of the batting lineup for me is Hewitt and Espinal. Espinal has been great just for the fact that in the last two games, he's had, what, 2 home runs? And he had, what, 5 RBIs the other night, against Tennessee. And then last night, Hewitt had 2 hits and 1 RBI. Like, when you have RBI machines in your lineup and they just create runs, you're going to win baseball games majority of the time.
It's funny. A couple weeks ago on our Saturday show, we had Andrew Allegretta, the voice of the Vandy Boys, on. And I asked him, I said, who in your mind needs to step up at the plate? And he said, frankly, everyone. And I feel like, since he said that, plate discipline has been a lot better. And mm-hmm. You mentioned
Calvin Hewitt.
Yeah, Calvin Hewitt. He has been just on the money with his eyes.
Yeah.
Great eyes. And
the discipline's been there.
Contact is there. It's, yeah, they're turning it around. I said this earlier in the show, which feels so long ago.
I know. We were saying, we don't know how Jared does this every day. Yeah. 4 hours.
It feels so long.
We're having fun.
Ago. I said it earlier in the show, I feel like this team can make a run. They're seated right where they need to be seated, right? They're projected a 2 seed, and I think we said it was projected in Indiana State's region, which, like you said earlier, Jake, if I'm Indiana State and I see Vanderbilt is the 2 seed in my region, I'm shaking in my boots a little bit. But
they went to extra innings, too, the other night, Indiana State, the Sycamores.
I think Vanderbilt played Indiana State in the midweek this year and won.
Really?
Too. So that was earlier in the year before a lot of these big injuries. But
right.
No, Calvin Hewitt, you guys talking about it, like that's the guy who has really turned around this offensive attack for Vandy. Andrew was talking on the broadcast, I think it was the Tennessee game on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And he said that Calvin Hewitt didn't have a home run until the Kentucky series, I don't think.
Really?
All year. And then he's hit 3 in the last 5 games or something like that. Just ridiculous that he's – and that's what you need if you're going to make a run in the postseason in college baseball. You either need a couple of pitchers who catch fire and can keep you in every single game, or you need a couple of hitters who are going to – step their game up in the biggest moments, and we've seen that from Hewitt. And like you mentioned, Alan Espinal, he had those 2 home runs in that game against Tennessee on Wednesday.
Yeah, and like also, too, you have to remember when you get to the SEC tournament, a lot of teams are not pitching their top ace due to the fact that majority of these teams have kind of already solidified their spot in more of a deeper postseason play for the NCAA National Championship. So that just comes to the point of you have to build momentum is what I'm trying to get to. With the Vandy lineup, like, you know, Andrew Allegretta mentioned a couple weeks ago on the show that this has been just not all there for Vandy. Now with getting, you know, that more plate appearances in the SEC tournament, going up against guys that are still really good pitchers, but yet not the top aces. And so when you get momentum and you start building that, it's just sky's the limit from there on out. And Tim Corbin does a really good job managing that along the way.
Vandy getting his day off is huge, too. You win those first three games, you get a little day to rest. As the elimination games today, we've got Kentucky and South Carolina up in studio right now. Heading to the eighth inning, South Carolina's got a two-run lead. The winner of that gets LSU in the first of the semifinals tomorrow. And then it'll be Tennessee and Mississippi State coming up after this one. About 3 o'clock tomorrow is when that game's supposed to start between Vanderbilt and the winner of that game. Winner goes to the championship. And Tim Corbin, I mentioned it early in the show, now is the all-time leader among coaches in SEC tournament wins. 46 of them, if I am remembering correctly, passing crazy. Ron Polk. So, man, Tim, I'm just saying, Tim Corbin at the Hoover Met, tough to beat him.
You're right. It's tough to beat a guy like that, especially with the just pedigree he has in college baseball. I mean, just the history of just putting together a good program continuously. It's a dynasty. It really is.
It's like, I don't want to put him in the same conversation as this guy, but it's like Nick Saban. If I see Nick Saban in Alabama in the postseason, I do not want to play them.
That's a great comparison.
Yeah.
I definitely own up to that. I would definitely say it. He's the Nick Saban of college baseball, for sure.
Yeah.
I'll give you, how about Tom Izzo?
Yes.
In March. Tom Izzo, I think, is a good comparison for Tim Corbin. Like, this year, Michigan State had a down-ish year. They were, a 9 seed in the tournament or something like that?
Eight or nine. Like
they were in that matchup. And they go out and win their first game because, as John Rothstein says, the calendar goes January, February, Izzo. And I feel like that's the same with Tim Corbin. Things may not go his way during the regular season, but, man, if you give him a fighting chance to get in the dance, Vandy boys have a shot, and we'll see where they're heading for the regionals. They're locked in now. There's no chance that they miss the tournament. It was bubble-ish heading into the week, but with these three wins, Vandy will be in and probably a 2 seed in the regional. That's a team that, man, they could be dangerous. Regional weekend's always a fun one, too, with college baseball.
Some crazy upsets go down that weekend.
I know Mississippi State lost to Vanderbilt last night, but you're talking about regionals. Mississippi State hosting regionals, it's a blast down at Duty Noble.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
How many SEC teams do we think will actually host a regional? Kentucky, Tennessee,
Georgia.
I'd say Mississippi State.
Maybe Mississippi State, yeah.
I'd put them on the fringe.
Arkansas, probably. Yep. So that's, what, five?
Five.
Yeah.
I think I heard 11 was the number of teams that are going to get in. Yeah, A&M. I can't believe it. We forgot the Aggies. They were number one in the poll for a while, so... The SEC, we talk about how SEC in football is kind of pulling away from the rest. I think in baseball, maybe the biggest disparity between conferences.
Dominant.
I agree.
They've won the last three national championships, and it feels like every single year the first overall pick in the MLB draft is coming from the SEC.
You'll see it again this year. I think Charlie Condon? Is that
Condon.
How you say it?
Condon.
Yep.
My man.
I think he'll be the number one pick.
I mean, look at Skeen's prime example, LSU, first overall pick.
Yep.
And look at him now.
Cruz went second, and then Wyatt Langford from Florida went fourth.
Yep.
They were the first three college players taken, all from the SEC. All were playing in the championship series in the College World Series last year.
Two of those three are already in the big leagues.
That is true. Dylan Cruz, the only one not. Yep. I think he's in Double-A with the Nationals right now.
Langford, DH of all places for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Skeens is obviously the ace. So,
well, Charlie Condon, I mentioned this on the Saturday show. He played for the summer league team that I called games for in college. And awesome guy. He was only a walk-on at Georgia when he showed up in St. Cloud, Minnesota that summer. He got offered a scholarship that year, and he has never looked back. He has been awesome to watch. Excited for him. I've met his family. They're all great people. So it'll be cool. Maybe one day I'll be able – maybe coming up this summer, I'll be able to say I called games for a number one overall pick.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat.
And he's the SEC Player of the Year as well. But Georgia, they went home day one of the SEC tournament. Vanderbilt still playing. And again, they will play tomorrow right around 3, depending on when the first game ends. In the SEC semifinals, that'll be against Tennessee or Mississippi State. And then the championship, if they reach that far, will be 2 o'clock on Sunday. Vandy looking for back-to-back SEC titles down in Hoover. Time to wrap up the show. It's flown by, guys. One more segment to go. We're going to make some weekend picks, although we do have a show tomorrow. So all of our picks have to be for tonight, and we will recap them coming up tomorrow, 9 to 11. Connor Newt also has to take a victory lap for his great weekend picks.
Yeah, he does.
Last
tomorrow,
week.
Tomorrow.
No, you can do it
tomorrow.
Now.
No,
we're making picks right now.
Oh, okay. My bad. I didn't know if it was just Saturday thing or not.
No, this is my time.
Well, Connor's going to get his victory lap coming up next, and we'll make some picks and send you off to your Memorial Day weekend here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Wrapping up the show here on Stillman & Company, heading into Memorial Day weekend. Fours Company sitting in for Jared. Big thanks to Chase McCabe for the opportunity today. It's been fun. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Ian Safar behind the glass. We'll be rejoined by our fourth member, Nick Keiser, tomorrow morning as he's preparing for his wedding this weekend. So I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that tomorrow morning. But let's wrap up our show with some weekend picks. Before we get into it, Connor, I will let you have your little victory lap, just as I did when I picked the Kentucky Derby. Connor Newt, go ahead.
All right, acknowledge me, everyone. Okay, so last week I went off the dome, and we were picking the PGA Championship, and I know nothing about golf. So I said, I think Xander Schauffele would win, and I didn't even say his name correctly. And what happened? Xander Schauffele won. I also picked, I picked Vanderbilt to beat Kentucky. That happened. And then I picked Edmonton Oilers to force game seven against Vancouver. That obviously happened. They obviously won. And they are up 1-0 against the Stars. So victory lap for me, 3 of 3. If we were keeping records, and I should really start doing that.
That's your job, man.
Yeah, I should start doing that.
That's your job.
I would have just moved up in the standings, I believe.
I think so. I think I went 2-1.
In a roundabout way, you call this the preseason until he starts.
That
really
is true. Until he starts writing down stats.
So none of this matters.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's make our picks. We're going to make a lot of picks this weekend. Again, if you haven't had enough of us yet, tomorrow, 9 to 11, we'll be back on the air with our usual show. And then a special edition Memorial Day, 11 to 2:30. You can tune in then, but let's make our weekend picks, but our Friday night picks in a way. Let's start with some SEC baseball. The winner gets Vanderbilt tomorrow, Mississippi State, Tennessee. Nick Frazier, are you going with your Bulldogs?
I am going with my Bulldogs. I just think Tony Vitello and the Big Orange can't succeed this time around. So going with the Diamond Dogs. Take Mississippi State to win by 3 runs.
I'm going to take the Bulldogs too, actually. I think they bounce back from last night. I think they're mad. I think the hitting comes in, and look, Tennessee's not going to hit like they do every day. So I'll take the Bulldogs to advance and get their revenge against Vanderbilt.
I'll go with the Bulldogs too, actually. I think Tennessee has their sights set higher. I think maybe they're starting to look ahead. After losing that game to Vanderbilt, I think that maybe they're starting to look ahead to the regionals and wanting to save pitching and all that stuff. So I will go with the Bulldogs as well. Next up, coming up tonight, Rangers-Panthers game 2. Panthers took game 1. Connor Newt, do they take a 2-0 lead back to Florida?
Nope. No, I think the Rangers level the series. It's in Madison Square Garden, correct? I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a tough place to play, man. And the Rangers don't lose there often, especially this year. So, yeah, I like that. I like the bread man. What's it?
Artemi Panarin.
Panarin. Yes. Yeah. I like him to score. And I like the Rangers. I feel like this will be a lower scoring game. I'll say 3-2.
Really? Yeah. I am also taking the Rangers. That is it just has to be leveled. It's playoff hockey. You can't really go wrong with a 1-1 series going back to Florida. So going with the Rangers.
We can't all agree on the on all the picks here. I'll take the Panthers. I think Florida, they won 3-0 in game 1. I think Florida, they've got the juice right now. They've got the momentum, and I think they're going to know that this is a chance to kind of step on the Rangers' throat early in this series, get a 2-0 lead heading back home. Then really, as long as you win 1 at home, you're feeling pretty good about the series. I will take the Florida Panthers. And let's wrap things up with a wild card. What? Just some game going on tonight that you guys have an opinion on. Connor, you got one?
I'll take my St. Louis Cardinals to take down the Cubs. Frazier and I were talking off the air, and he believes this will be a no-homer game. No home runs. I have a hard time believing that with Miles Michaelis on the mound.
Yeah.
But I'll take the Cardinals. They don't know how to lose anymore. They've won, I believe, 9 of their last 10. Is that correct?
That 8
of the last 9?
Right.
Something like that. But, yeah, I'll take the Cardinals to win. I love the way they're playing. I love the way Lars Nootbaar is playing. Yeah, I'll take the Cardinals in a kind of a barn burner. I'll take them 6-4.
Okay. You guys know where I'm going with my wild card. The NRL, the Australian Rugby League.
The Ballyhoos.
This is not the Ballyhoos tonight. This is the Cronulla Sharks versus the Penrith Panthers. So there is the leading try score, basically like leads of the league in touchdowns for people that like follow NFL. Ronaldo Militao is the leading try score for the NRL. So I think they might actually beat the Penrith Panthers. And this team is, they're like the Tom Brady New York Patriots of the league. So if they take down the Panthers, they have a solid shot. So let's go Sharks. Let's do it.
The New York Patriots.
The New York Patriots.
Oh, sorry. The New England Patriots. I mean, I've been here since 7, guys. Just cut me some slack here.
I can't give any input on whether that's a good pick or a bad pick.
I'll give you guys the updates tomorrow when we get here.
Sounds
3
good.
3 a.m. kickoff.
I am going to say the Timberwolves even up the series with Dallas, and I think that's in Minnesota. So I think the Timberwolves get the win and get that to 1-1. That does it for us here on this Friday afternoon. Again, a big thanks to Chase McCabe, Jared Stillman, for letting us sit in here for Jared on this Friday afternoon. Have a great start to your Memorial Day weekend. And again, you can tune in with us, Four's Company, 9 to 11 tomorrow. We're rejoined by Nick Kieser. ESPN Radio is coming up next. You're on 102.5 The Game. Enjoy your Friday night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.